what they're going to buy, what they're going to wear, what they're going to do, what the next day's events are going to be. That's on their minds. It's not necessarily the world is just thinking about how to kill one another or thinking about all these, what we would consider evil deeds. They're just being earthly minded. They're being infatuated with this world and the things of the world. But the Bible says, for those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Their minds are occupied with the things of God. And it's not just including our minds. We can see that this implies our affections in our heart. Verse 1 says, seek the things that are above. And the NIV says, it translates that, set your heart on things above. And verse 2 says, set your minds on things above. Then the King James says, set your affections on things above. For where your treasure is located, that's where your heart's going to be located. So we're to set our affections, our thinking upon the things above. Now, this is important because we don't want to be like those who heard the seed and we received it with joy, and the seed being the gospel. And we heard the gospel with joy and we received it and we sprung up quickly. But we were the seed that were thrown in the ground that had thorns and thistles. And as we grew up, the thorns and thistles began to choke the word out. And as we lived the Christian life, we joined the church, we were baptized, we for a while we were very zealous about the things of God. But in time, the cares and concerns of the world begin to choke out the word. And we turned out to be a false convert, not a genuine believer, because there was no endurance in us. And we were, if you would, distracted by just the things of this world. And here, we are told to set our minds on things above. Matthew 6, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount tells us in verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And he goes on to say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things that the world worries about, all these other things will be taken care of. Your job is to make sure that your number one priority in your minds and your thoughts, when you wake up, when you go to bed, and throughout the day, your number one priority is the things of God. So we're told to seek first the kingdom of God. Now I have 8 reasons in this text why we should seek first the kingdom of God. 8 reasons. Now I know what you're thinking. We're going to be here all day with 8 points. But these will go really, really fast. And basically, I think Paul is answering all of our objections before we have them. I mean, you may be thinking, I have all these earthly responsibilities. I'm in school. I mean, I can't sit there and dwell upon God all day. I got my classwork to do. I got tests to take. I mean, I got obligations. Some of you may think, hey, I have an important job. I can't be distracted when I'm doing my job. I'll be a poor worker. Doesn't the Bible say if you don't work, you don't eat? My car needs repairing. My yard needs to be mowed. My work is constantly waiting on me. I can't leave off my earthly concerns to be focused upon the things of God. Not at this time in my life. I'm in an unusual period in my life right now that needs my attention. It needs my focus. I need to be really tuned in on what I'm doing over here. God understands, right? God understands that I'm under a lot of stress. And he's going to just allow me to have this time to focus on these. And when that gets taken care of, then I'll come back and I'll make sure I make up for it, 6 months from now. I'll rekindle my fire for the Lord once all these other things get taken care of. Now, we may not actually say that, but we kind of do that. Well, first of all, seeing that you've been born again to a spiritual life, you're called to seek the things that are spiritual. Look at verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. If then is just basically saying, since you have been born again, since you have been given a new life, a spiritual life, seeing that you've been raised with Christ, you're no longer just a physical being. You're now a spiritual being. You're more than just your earthly circumstances, your earthly responsibilities. Now you have spiritual responsibilities. And your spiritual life is to take priority over your physical life. You see, the outward man, he is perishing. Yes, you still have to take care of the flesh, and a little exercise profits some. But this physical life is dying. We're all perishing. The outward man, the Bible tells us, is perishing. But the inward man is growing and maturing. Now, for us who are growing older, we should take comfort in this. Some of us were 5 years from death. Some of us are 10 years from death. Some of us, we know we're growing older and our youth is slipping away. And it can be depressing. But this is not what we're living for, because we have a new life. And though the physical body is growing older, your soul, your new life, the new life that you have in Christ Jesus, that which has been raised with Christ, that is still young. You're just getting started. And that is being renewed day by day. So the first reason we should seek first the kingdom of God is we now have a spiritual life. We've been raised with Christ. But you may be thinking, well, here below on earth is where all my children and grandchildren are located. I still got to think about my making memories with my children while I can. They're going to be out of the house before I know it. I need to go camping. I need to take care of these things. My oldest child has to play baseball over here, and my daughter's going to gymnastics over there, and little Billy has piano lessons. I got to get him to that. Oh, then Timmy, he's in T-ball. And by the time I'm running here and there, taking care of all my kids and helping build them a life and memories while I have them, at the end of the day, I just don't have much time left to think about God. I have to keep my attention on things below, because this is where my family and my friends are located. Well, Paul has an answer to that objection too. Christ is in heaven. Not here below. If you then been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is located. You should be heavenly minded, because that's where your Savior is. Who means more to you? Your children or Jesus Christ? Did not the Lord say, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to have to hate your mother and your father, brothers and sisters, you could add, and your children, and even your own self? That you can't serve your, have two idols in your life, your children and Christ? You see, Christ is located not on the ball field. He's located in heaven above. And if Christ is not your treasure, your heart will not be with him in heaven. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And so much, we're so focused on the things below and building a life for us now in this world, in this little time period that we have now, we forget to think that, hey, we have something much, much bigger we have Christ. So second, you need to seek the things above because this is where Christ, your treasure, is located. But thirdly, you may think to yourself, you don't understand. Things won't get done if I don't attend to them. You know, if I don't work, my family's not going to eat. I've got to take care of these things. And if I don't do them, they will not get done. Well, this is the third reason you should seek Christ first. Because without Christ, nothing gets done. If then you have raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is. And where is Christ? He's not just in heaven and above us. He's seated at the right hand of God. This is a position of honor and authority. Christ is not just in heaven, he's ruling and reigning. Not only over heaven, he's ruling and reigning over the earth. He's ruling from that location over your life, your family's life, and everything about your life. He has the right, he has the power, he has the authority to give, to take away. Everything about your life is governed by Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't have time to think about him. What do you mean? He's ruling your life. How do you not have time to think about God? Well, I gotta get working hard. I'm afraid I'm not going to make a living. You should be worried about seeking the Lord. He's the one who provides you a living. He's the one who provides you a job. He's the one over your bank account. He's the one over the circumstance. He's the one over the coronavirus. He's the one who's ruling and reigning. Don't think it's in your hands. It's in his hands. And he must reign until he places all his enemies under his footstool. All power in heaven and earth has been given to him. And thus we must seek first the kingdom of God because we're called to surrender everything that we have to him. He is our authority. He's at the right hand of God. He's over us. He's above us. He's our king. He's our ruler. He's our master. Thus, we should submit ourselves to him. But we also need to remember it's important to seek him because only he can give us what we need. If the lions seek their food from God, how much more should his sheep seek their needs from the Lord? You may say, hey, well, how am I going to get toilet paper during these crazy days? I gotta stock up. I gotta worry about providing for my family, and I've got to worry about making sure we have meat and we have supplies. I mean, these are crazy days we're living in. Don't you remember what Jesus said? Do not be anxious about your life or what you eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you'll put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Isn't this more than just about basic necessities? Does not Christ know you have need of all these things? Therefore, seek first the kingdom of God. Make that your priority. Then God will make sure you have all the toilet paper you need. He'll make sure you have food. He'll make sure your provisions are taken care of. You don't try to put these other responsibilities. I'm not saying they're not responsibilities. I'm not saying you shouldn't go work and take care of your family. But don't put that above seeking first the kingdom of God. And if you seek first the kingdom of God, you don't have to worry about these other things. It's almost like God has said this to us. Listen, I got your back. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to take care of you. Now you can just worry about loving me. Now you can just put your mind on me. I'll put my mind on these other things. That's why the Bible tells us, be anxious for nothing. It tells us for us to cast our anxiety upon the Lord, for he is anxious about us, or he cares for us. So we don't have to worry about these things. God will worry about them for us. So this is the third reason we need to seek the things above, because this is where God is located and where his power and help is located. Well, you may be thinking, You don't understand the responsibilities on me. I mean, this is a particular busy time for my life. A lot is dependent upon me right now. I'm under a lot of stress, unique stress. I don't have time to sit around and be still and know that God is God. I got to be busy. Well, fourthly, we need to dwell upon the things above, or otherwise we will dwell upon the things below. We see this in verse 2. Set your minds on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. It's like you got two options here. You don't have three options. You're either going to be heavenly minded or you're going to be earthly minded. And if you're not heavenly minded, you certainly are earthly minded. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and money. You can't do both of these things. You can't be earthly minded and heavenly minded. They're at war with one another. They're contrary to one another. Do you not know, Jesus said, that friendship with the world makes yourself an enemy of God? The Apostle John writes this down in 1 John 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. For anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And don't you know that to be carnally minded or worldly minded or preoccupied about fleshly things, worldly things, is spiritual adultery? It's cheating on God because you're making another God in your life. You're having an idol in your life. James 4:4 says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." We need to be careful of something maybe innocent in our life that's starting to creep up in our life. Maybe it's a career. Maybe it's a job pursuit. Maybe it's a possession. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's, could be 100 different things. Starts off as an innocent blessing of God that we turn into an idol that we have to have. And the way the Bible describes the things of the world, he's given us all things to richly enjoy, but you can't enjoy it until you're ready to give it up. And it's only when you can say, "God, you can have it if you want it," that you can actually enjoy it and be content with little or with much. But if you're clinging to this world, "I have to have it. I've got to have this job," or "I've got to have this much money. I got to have this or that. I need this new car and I can't be happy without it," then you are committing spiritual idolatry. And your mind is not set on the things above, but it's set on the things below. So this is the fourth reason. You can't do both. We need to set our mind on things above so that we are not thinking about the things below. Well, you still may have some objections. You may be thinking, it's kind of hard not to think about earthly things. You know, I got these physical eyes and I see physical things. And I mean, it's not like I see heaven. I mean, if I was in heaven, if I was there, it'd be easy to have my mind on heavenly things. But I'm located here and all my five senses are very active. And man, every day I'm seeing things. And so it's hard to see things that are invisible and easy to see things that are visible. Well, that's true. It is true that you must think about things above by faith. But we need to remember, we have died to self. And we have died to this world. This is what verse 3 says. "For you have died." If anything, it should be unnatural to have idols in our life, seeing that we have died to ourselves and we have died to this world. You cannot be a Christian unless you've already crucified the flesh, repented of your sins, and given your life to Christ. And in Christ you have died. Paul put it this way in Galatians 6:14. "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." I have, through the cross, through the death of Jesus Christ, I have died to the world and the world has died to me. This is the nature of the Christian. We have died. We have given up our rights. We're no longer our own. We're to glorify God in our souls and our bodies because they belong to the Lord. And we have surrendered our life to God. We have died to the flesh. We have died to the world. And we have given our life wholly and fully to Christ. Thus, it should be unnatural for us to live after this world. When we've died to the world, we have been crucified with Christ. And though we still live in the flesh, we no longer live in ourselves. We live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And Paul put it this way in Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How should we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? So yeah, it may be hard to believe in the invisible, and it's easier to put our minds on the things that are physical. But we have died to this. We have crucified these things. Therefore, it should be more natural for us to not be preoccupied with those things. Well, you say that, but you may not understand fully. My life is wrapped up in my profession, in my job. You know, and that can happen to you. It can happen to any of us. Preachers, pastors can easily make their ministry an idolatry. They can make pastoring their identity. I'm a pastor. This is what I do. It's not Christ that becomes their identity. It's their ministry. And you can be so busy about ministering and caring for one another and calling people and preparing sermons and all these things that you forget that your life is Christ, not your ministry. But it's easy for us to go say, it's my job. It's my job. That's where I find my purpose. That's where I find my identity. My life is wrapped up in what I do. No, that's not true. Not if you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, we see number six, your life is wrapped up in Christ Jesus. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now think about this. Here's heaven. It's a glorious place without sin. It's where God is. It's holy. Now we want to get there one day. That's our aim. That's our objective, to get to heaven. To be with the Lord, to live with God forever. But how can we who are sinful get into heaven? And here is Jesus Christ who is holy. He's able to enter in and out of heaven. He's able to come to us, go back to his Father. He's got free access into paradise. He can get in there. We can't. Somehow, we need to be smuggled in. We need to hide ourselves under the cloak of Jesus Christ. We need to somehow have his righteousness covering us. We need to slip our way in, if you would, under the disguise of Jesus Christ. We need to hide ourselves in him. That's the only way in. And see, if Christ becomes our life, we become hidden in him. And that's what is our identity. Don't look at me. I'm a sinner. And one thing we all know that's true. We all know this in our conscience. And if we're a new Christian or a seasoned Christian, if we're experienced missionary or we're a weak, feeble believer, we all know we're nothing. We know it. We know that we don't want too much attention, or we shouldn't want too much attention on ourselves, because we know how weak we are. And so a true Christian is like, no, look at Christ. See him. He's what I want you to see when you see me. So you say, well, I'm wrapped up in my job. No, no. Christians are wrapped up in Christ Jesus. They're hidden in him. Christ becomes our all in all, our everything. If it wasn't for Christ, we have nothing. But in Christ, we have everything. And this leads us to the seventh reason You may think, I get so much joy from the simple things of life. You know, a good steak. I mean, I personally love crab legs when I can get them. I like a good campfire. You know, I enjoy the spring days. The simple things of life. Just having the sun hit my face on a beautiful day. Being out watching my kids play. Those things make life kind of fun and enjoyable. So we may think, well, you know, hey, it's easy to get our minds wrapped up in just experiencing the little moments of joy and pleasure that we have. But listen, our life is not in those moments. Christ is our life. We see this in verse 4. When Christ, who is your life? Well, one, he's the source of our life. We have no life outside of Christ. We live only because of the life of Christ living in us. He's the source of our life. But it's not just the fact that he's the source of our life. I think this is talking about the abundant life. You know, that he who believes shall have abundant life. Our joy shall be full. But the joy of the Christian, the fullness of life, the abundant life, is not in a campfire enjoying it with your family. It's not just, oh, this is life. It doesn't get better than this when we're just enjoying a little moment. No, what makes life all the more glorious is Christ himself. Without Christ, everything becomes meaningless. What does it matter if you get steak every day the rest of your life and you go to hell? All of a sudden, all that food becomes nothing. Without Christ, everything is meaningless, but with Christ, everything becomes meaningful. If you have Christ, then whatever you're eating, if it's a hot dog or a steak, it doesn't matter. You can enjoy that for the glory of God, because that's not what's important, is the fact that Christ is sitting on the other side of the table with you. Our life is hid in Christ. Well, eighthly and finally, you don't understand, there's so much in this life to live for. Life is short, you may think. If we don't enjoy what we have, when we have it, we'll forget, we'll regret it. You know, we're going to regret that if we didn't do this or do that. We're going to regret if we don't take advantage of this brief life that we're here for. We need to live up, have fun, for tomorrow we're going to die. Well, the brevity of life shouldn't cause us to live for this life. Rather, if we're smart, the brevity of life should cause us to live for the life to come. This is what we see in verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So your life is not on this world, it's with Christ in heaven. It's hid with God in heaven, with Christ. And when Christ comes back, you will appear with him in glory. That's where the glory is located, not on earth. Your glory is not in the house that you own or the cars that you drive or the money that's in your bank account. That's not the true wealth and glory. That's not what marks you as a successful person. All that is fading away. John put it this way, 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eye, and the pride of life, is this not from the Father? It's not from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. So it's not just the world passing away. These desires are passing away. You know, eventually, everything that the world wants is going to be no more. But as we grow older, our desires are passing away. You take someone on their deathbed and ask them, do you know, is it a TV, the new TV that you want? Is it new shoes you want, a new car you want? All these things they used to pant after and want and desire and lust after. They go, no, I don't want that stuff. The world and all these desires, all these things, all that is coming to an end. Don't give yourself to these things. We're to give ourselves to where the glory is located. We learned in our catechism class this morning that in Christ we have true riches, true wealth. And I was thinking as the class was being taught, I was thinking, man, I'm a wealthy man. I can't believe it. I'm a very wealthy person. I can't believe the wealth that I own. I have eternal life, and I have all the glories that are hid in Christ Jesus. And Christ is not divvying up some of his gifts. He's given me the whole bunch. He's given me everything that he has. I've become joint heirs. I can't believe how filthy rich I am. And it's all up in heaven. That's worth living for. Not putting my heart and my affections on these things that are passing away. If we were smart, we would invest in the things above. We would put our treasures there and not just be focused upon the time that we have here below. We would use our time to invest wisely. That's what we would do if we understood the reality of the glories that is coming to us in Christ Jesus when he's appearing. We would do everything we could in this life, every moment, every day, we would do it in preparation for that great day. Everything we did. If we went to work, we would do it for the sake of God's glory. If we're sweeping the floor, we'd do it for the sake of God's glory. If we're raising kids, we would do it for the sake of God's glory. Everything we did on earth would be with both eyes on heaven. And it would change the way we would behave on earth. Yes, we would focus upon these things below in the sense that we would take care of our responsibilities. But we would do it because our heart and our affections are above, not here below. Let's ask the Lord's grace to be able to carry out these great commands. Dear Lord, you've given us 8 reasons to seek the things above. We have no excuse to have our minds on things below. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen.